Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Byers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
South Carolina's got everything. Natural beauty, trendy cities, but you might miss your next big adventure in a smaller town. We've got you covered on the Palmetto Porch. Discover South Carolina's official podcast. I'm Devin Whitmire. Come with me as I venture off the beaten path and learn about these towns from the locals who know them best. Check out the Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information, head on over to scpalmettoporch.com.
Yes, happy Friday to you. Welcome to Four Quarter Friday here on the Chief Sports Network. I am Matt Smith. That is Steve Hall. And we have much to discuss today. We are starting to finalize the boys and girls playoff fields. We've got a four-time wrestling champion to celebrate. And a title-winning coach returns home. Steve, that is something that you teased, what, a month ago? We didn't know if it would happen. But of all of the things that have been going on in recent days, and yes, basketball's been a big part of it. Wrestling champions have been crowned. But we have, one of the things we've done on this show as well is track some of these coaching hires. And there was kind of a marriage that everybody thought, like two magnets that were going to find each other, Drew Marlowe and Sumpter, and they have.
Yeah, and it was the worst kept secret in all high school football, I think. As soon as the Sumpter job opened, everybody kind of knew. So it wasn't, I will say, it wasn't any kind of special privileges that I had. Now, it was speculation right at first, but, you know, Coach Marlowe's done a fantastic job at South Florence. And, Smitty, I'll just go ahead and bring up the graphical real quick, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Look at this. This right here, you know, Scott Braswell takes the South Florence job to replace Coach Marlowe, and what a fantastic hire that was. I've heard he is a savant and very well respected inside of the coaching community in the high school league. I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but I have heard that he was potentially the first guy to get Tom Knotts to change his defense up. And if you saw that defense play over the course of this past few years, you can kind of see why.
Yeah, I love that. And then you see former Gamecock quarterback Bennett Swigert there at Clover as well. So some of these jobs, I mean, is that it, Steve? Do we have any job openings left? I know we were tracking. Those are the ones we were tracking. Do you have any more? Are there any open? Maybe now that some of these guys have left.
Let's check, actually. On the fly, I can't tell you off the top of my head right now, but let me see if there's anything that we're missing still. I don't believe Wagner Sally has announced yet. After I made this graphic, McCormick did make an announcement for their new coach. I don't believe May River has made a hire yet. And Goose Creek is still yet to announce.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay, that's huge. But we've had some big names land kind of where we thought, right? I don't know. We don't have any shockers, right? Because you know, Conway got their man, Sumpter got their man, and then a lot of these were, as you say, some of the worst kept secrets. I'm sure there were negotiations, and some of that had, and you know, coaches could have had second thoughts, but I think mostly what we have seen is what we expected to see, right? Because you were hearing a lot of this behind the scenes and things that it would have just been rumor and conjecture if we would have said it on air. So you didn't want to bring that to air. But these are the jobs that we thought these names would land.
Yeah, there's a couple cool notes. D. Delaney, former player at the Citadel, I believe was a Whale Branch alum, if I'm not mistaken. But he
Okay.
also played, he transferred, I think it was in 2017, to the University of Miami and played for the U. And then we had a brief stint in the NFL as well. Bennett Swigert, that was a little bit of a surprise just because they've done pretty well over there at Hillcrest. But that has been a somewhat of a topic this week, talking about just the differences in pay from Greenville County and then the Clover at school district. Is that the Fort Mill or
Yeah, I guess
Springfield
that's,
school district or so? But the pay is just so much better. So that's a interesting conversation. Coaches were having on the X verse or the Twitter verse this week.
Yeah, and of course, as we mentioned, we've got a lot to talk about in terms of basketball, and we will do that today with Andrew Black Baxley from Prep Hoops South Carolina. We've had him on before. We wanted to have him back because you and I were asking questions to each other off the air, and we said, well, instead of just calling Andrew and asking him, let's have him on the air and have him share all this with everybody. He was at a game that went to double overtime last night, Camden and South Point. So we'll start there with Andrew, and then we'll sift through everything. But of course, one thing we want to focus on today are some of the 2A, 1A, and 3A matchups that are going to decide regions or playoff seeding and who looks like they really can win. Because sometimes, you get that line, right? Maybe there's five teams that could win a championship. Maybe there's seven that could potentially win a championship. Where does Andrew draw that line in 3A and 2A and 1A? I will tell you, I've got my eyes on Keenan and Fox Creek tonight. From what I have seen, I think Keenan is still as the defending champions, they just look like one of those clubs that knows how to win. Fox Creek played a really difficult schedule during stretches, so they're probably better than their overall ranking. Yeah, there they are. So, and we'll go through this in depth in our next segment. But look at that. Keenan and Fox Creek both have been working their way up the rankings, catching the attention of those voters. And Loras just hasn't been beaten by any 3A team all season long. Christchurch has, I say it every time we bring the graphic up, they have the win over Dutch Fork. I mean, so I think maybe you could throw a blanket over those four teams. And I would like to ask Andrew Baxley, is Waccamaw in this? Is Georgetown in this? Mountain View Prep? And then 2A, I know a lot about High Point Academy, Andrew Jackson, but then you start getting down. I know Chesney lost last night to Liberty. I hated to see that for Andy Pitt. Are they in it? Could they get hot with their style of play and potentially challenge as well? And, over in 1A, Horse Creek Academy, they're like 22-2 or something outrageous. So we'll talk to Andrew Baxley about that. We focus so much on 5A and 4A for a lot of reasons. Those were some of the teams that were making headlines early on. There's a lot of 5A and 4A teams right there in your backyard, and then obviously where my background as well. But today, we really want to dig into 1A, 2A, and 3A with Andrew Baxley, celebrate some of those teams, shine a light on them, because now it's winning time. And you see now that you've gotten out of non-conference play, you see some of these teams putting together 8, 9, 10, 11-game winning streaks as they head into the playoffs, red hot rolling into the playoffs. So Andrew Baxley has gotten to really dig in and analyze some of those teams and some of those matchups, and we'll certainly do that in about 20 minutes. Also, the wrestling championships took place, and the duels, and we still have the individuals in front of us, but wrestling took place as well. And Steve, Fort Mill has won four in a row. I mean, what can you say about that program? I saw that pop up, and then and we'll talk about an individual wrestler as well. But we've had a couple of wrestling guests on in recent weeks. And I know you kind of got into tracking it a little bit. You said, oh, who's going to win this thing? And Fort Mill has won for the fourth straight time. So even though we've heard from everybody we've talked to about how the central powers, all of that has been spread, the talent is spread, all the youth programs, but Fort Mill's not ready to give it up yet.
Yeah, and we saw the world famous West Oak High School win the 3A wrestling championship. May River, congratulations to May River and Coach Ashley Powell for winning the 4A boys wrestling state championship. Clover won the 5A division one. I'm not sure how many that makes for them, but they won that here in Lexington, South Carolina. You already mentioned Fort Mill, and let's see, Chesney. Chesney won the 2A wrestling state championship.
Go Eagles.
I don't know. I don't know if I saw the 1A in there yet. Maybe that's a combined with 2A. I'm not sure. I know the smaller classifications kind of not everybody has a wrestling team in those smaller classifications.
Well, how about that? We talked about this with a couple of guests about, and you mentioned before, you've heard about Somerville, always has a great tradition in that, and not just Somerville, but the area and the Rock Hill area. And now you see what we're talking about, the shift. Rock Hill used to own that division, but now Clover and Fort Mill, which are next door neighbors to Rock Hill, and you see how it spreads. You know, an assistant coach goes somewhere, and these things just build on each other over time. So I think it's fascinating that Fort Mill's won four in a row. We'll talk more about that later on as well, but we'll take our first break because we've got to spend a little time with the rankings today. Top 10 rankings, boys and girls basketball. We have some shakeups. We have some news and scores to report because the schedule's gotten compressed here due to the weather. So we had some big games take place last night that are going to have an effect on playoff seeding. And we have region titles on the line. So we'll go over the rankings. We'll dig into it with Andrew Baxley. And then coming up in our fourth quarter here on 4.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it. Whether you're committed to a through hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more. It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. Ka'Chava.com, code NEWS.
Quarter Friday, we're going to have Aaron Lucas join us, Ridgeview High School girls basketball coach. Of course, almost everybody in this state knows that name from what he did as a player. Now he's doing things as a coach. So that's all ahead on 4 Quarter Friday. Jump in the chat, join us, be a part of this, download the app so you don't miss anything. Steve has been posting kind of like mystery shows, secret shows, Easter eggs for you, interviews that we've had with coaches and athletic directors that are not a part of this show. But if you download the app and subscribe to us on YouTube, you get notifications when those pop up. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hit you with the rankings, some scores, and potential playoff matchups. That's all on the other side in the second quarter here on 4 Quarter Friday, Chief Sports Network.
The Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team!
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
You're tuned into the State of South Carolina's weekly high school show. Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. Now it's the color I bleed in the stitches in my stitches in my stitches in my stitches in my pride is a capital letter. Together. It's the color I bleed in the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching right. Right. Oh, yeah, we got pride. Yeah, we got pride.
It's the end of the work week for most of us, which means Four Quarter Friday. So glad that you are joining us. And it is mid-February, which means crunch time, the playoffs beginning in the South Carolina High School League. The South Carolina Basketball Coaches Association has their top 10 rankings out for each of the classifications. So we'll go over those now before we have Andrew Baxley join us. We're really going to dig into 1A, 2A, and 3A today. We won't ignore 4A and 5A, but we want to make sure that we cover those classifications very closely with Andrew Baxley. But, Steve, you said a few weeks ago, is there any more praise that we can heap on Ridgeview, now on a 10-game winning streak? They play for a share of their region title tonight. They've won their last four games by 29 points. Anything nice more that we can say about this Ridgeview team that has been just a bully in the last 2 weeks?
I don't think so. I think we have definitely recognized and, talked a lot about a lot of praise about Ridgeview and Coach Staley's team. They are on a 10-game winning streak, like you said. They have a chance to clinch the region title tonight against Blythewood. I would think that they probably will do that based on the fact that they've won their last four games by an average of 29 points. They're not slowing down, so we're getting ready to hit the playoffs. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the Burns Riverside game to see if Burns can hold on to the region championship, or if that will be up for grabs for Riverside, because I know they're right there to grab it. I'm just ready for the playoffs. Did you see by chance the end of the Burns Dorman game the other day?
I did.
That was pretty wild.
That was wild. Right after we had Burns head coach Lane Fowler join us talking about, look, how difficult it was going to be to go in there to Dorman. And then Dorman, after taking that heartbreaking loss, they bounce back and beat Riverside to open the door to give Burns this opportunity. Now, Burns or Riverside, either one could have wrapped up Region 2-5A earlier this week, but everybody kind of held serve. You know, everybody won. As a matter of fact, what we can tell you, maybe we mentioned, you and I talked about this beforehand. I don't know if you have it handy, but Thomas Ryan for Dorman High School won his 500th career game in high school here in South Carolina. So congratulations to Coach Ryan. And that's how tough this league is this year. That is a program. I mean, they have one of their better teams. He's won, I think, 6 state championships on it. I have to go back and look at that. But it's 500 career wins, almost all of those coming at Dorman, some of those at Aiken as well. But Dorman's third in that reach. They're going to have to fight their way up through the playoffs. And we'll talk to Andrew Baxley about how some of these teams that are in the more difficult regions, what, you know, how that shakes things out in terms of seeding and everything. Look, we know Burns and Riverside, and we talked to Lane Fowler about this. We know that the winner of the region, in either case, by the way, Riverside is going to be in Division 2-5A, and Burns will be in Division 1. But after that, after all the region's championships are decided, then RPI may play into the seeding. So we have to dig into that a little bit today as well. But I know that, you know, you said earlier in the season how good Ridgeview was. You know, this is a team that wins state championships. This is a team that just dropped a game to Westwood, frankly, and has been rolling ever since. West Ashley can win its 4th straight game. They play at Ashley Ridge tonight. West Ashley could win the region, wrap up Region 8-5A. Dutch Fork, another team that right there in your backyard, Steve, they defeated Irmo last night 48-38. Now, I want to highlight that for one reason. That was Dutch Fork's only region loss to Irmo. Mm-hmm. And then they avenged that loss. And the scores of the two games were 48-42 and 48-38. Slugfests. I love rivalry matchups in high school basketball. Can you imagine how intense that must have been coming down the stretch? But great job from Dutch Fork. And you mentioned, we've talked about Burns and Dorman. Down in Division II, Riverside will play Burns for the Region 2-5A championship tonight. So if you're in the upstate, that's certainly a game you want to keep an eye on. Westwood is at Sumter tonight. Goose Creek is 24-2. They did wrap up their regular season slate. That's already over. They defeated Wando 53-39. And this is another example, Steve, of something I want to ask Andrew. How about Greenville? Is that a state championship contender? You know, obviously you're going to have a lot of pub with a team like Goose Creek, a name like that, how good Riverside has been this year. But I really want to know, is Greenville at 11-1 in Region 1, is that a state championship contender? The coaches have them as the fourth best team. But I have a suspicion that that's hard to do. In other words, each week I think the coaches are like, guess fourth. But it's really because Goose Creek, Westwood, and Riverside just won't lose.
Yeah. I across all divisions, it just seems like the top four seeds are certainly, you can make a case for them seeing them win the whole thing. You know, when you go to 4A, you see Gray Collegiate, North Augusta. Yep. We know what happened in the last region matchup they had. You know, with North Augusta having their two best players out, you have Wilson with potentially the best player.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it. Whether you're committed to a through hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more, it's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud. Especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Kachava.com and use code NEWS. KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
The state will hear more, possibly a little bit more about that team and Josh Leonard from Andrew here shortly. Bluffton, they're 21-4, 10-0 in region, hasn't lost since December. It's fascinating. As far as the RPI goes, you have Greenville. You were talking about Greenville. Let's see where they at. They are number 11. Yeah, they are number 11, which is kind of blows your mind a little bit, because of what their schedule, what their wins have been, and then now they're 11-1 in the region. So that's kind of a shocker that they're kind of a little further down. So I could see an upset happening. Although, do you call it an upset if they're ranked by their coaches? Let's see, where are they ranked? Number 4. I don't know if you would call it an upset there, but yeah, I can't wait for the playoffs to start. I'll definitely be hitting the road, I believe.
Yeah, and I want to talk to Andrew about, you know, who might end up with a very difficult road because of some of this, because some of the regions are better than others or more competitive at the top, which means you can get knocked down. You could be third or fourth in your region, but feel like you're a top 10 club. And then that could put you in a bad spot. Like, let's look at Chesney. We have to roll all the way down. Again, we want to make sure we highlight these teams today. But if you roll all the way down to 2A, yes, we've talked about High Point a lot. They're 22-2. They're on a string of blowouts, and they actually play Chesney tonight. But see, Chesney is down there at 6th, and they're coming off a loss to Liberty, who is ranked 8th. But here's what Chesney will have. They've got a home playoff game coming up. They've secured a home playoff game under Coach Pitt. Love Andy Pitt up there at Chesney. Love the way he coaches. And I think they're a dangerous team because of how loose his teams will play. Now, they lost last night, and they're at High Point tonight, which is the top-ranked team in 2A. So right there, you're going to find out, I think, you know, in about 12 hours, you're going to find out if they are a state championship contender. And so those are the kinds of things that we certainly want to highlight and talk about, because these teams probably have not gotten enough of a light shined on them. You and I have been bragging, though, on Christchurch and Loras all season. Loras has not lost to anybody but 5A teams. And then they have just been blowing everybody out of the water since. And then in 1A, we certainly want to, Horse Creek Academy, a team that lost in the first round last year. Boy, have they retooled. 14-0 in Region 3A. And here's another team that I want to highlight, and we certainly will ask Andrew Baxley about. I love this, Steve. I love when coaches take on all comers. C.A. Johnson is 18-7, which is a good record, but probably not, okay, well, you know, how good are they? Well, here's how good. They get into region play, they go undefeated. 14-0. Of those 7 losses, they lost to the 3A defending state champion Keenan. They lost to Dutch Fork. 1-point loss to Ridgeview. You and I might agree, Ridgeview might be the best team across all classes in all of high school basketball in South Carolina. C.A. Johnson is a 1A program that lost by a single point. They lost to 5A T.L. Hanna, but they beat Irmo, a team that beat Dutch Fork. So I say, I love that. I don't know, you know, how good C.A. Johnson is, I guess, is what I would say. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I love that they take on all comers. I'm into
that.
That's
what I love about high school basketball, Smitty. I mean, especially early in the season, is you get to see some of these smaller schools playing these tournaments against the biggest classification. And they do just fine. I mean, thing about basketball is you just gotta have 5.
That's right.
Like, you gotta have really good 5. And obviously, teams like High Point, Horse Creek, C.A. Johnson, Andrew Jackson, you know, those teams have some daggum good starting five. So
they must. All right. We'll get to our break. And when we come back, we'll have Andrew Baxley join us from Prep Hoops, South Carolina, where he's going to look. It's an early morning for him. Like me, he's probably got some coffee in his hand because it was a double overtime game he was covering last night, Camden and South Point. We'll have Andrew Baxley join us when we come back. We still have Aaron Lucas coming on the show today. We've got to talk wrestling. We've got to celebrate our Palmetto player profile. Lot to get to. We're glad that you're with us. We'll dig into high school playoff basketball, the seeding, the region champions, RPI, and what it all means with Andrew Baxley. When we come back, this is Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina, with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Welcome to quarter number three of Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith here with you. Steve Hall there in the Midlands. And we have Andrew Baxley joining us, Prep Hoops, South Carolina. Andrew, I'm going to guess, let's see, are you working on 5-6 hours of sleep after a double overtime last night, Camden South Point?
Yeah, something like that. It was a crazy one. But thanks for having me on again, guys.
Well, how did that game finish up? And tell us, if you will, if there were playoff implications on the line last night.
Yeah, there were. Almost every game at this time of the year that's worth going to will have playoff implications. That's Class 4, Region 3. Lancaster already locked up the region championship and the one seed because they had the tiebreaker over both teams. So this was going to determine who gets the two seed, who gets the three seed. And I knew this was one to go to because they went to overtime the first time. I wasn't necessarily expecting overtime again, but I ended up getting two overtimes. Camden had two late shots to tie it. One was at the buzzer in regulation by Tyreek Jones, a three. And then Jaden Lewis, an eighth grader who plays for Camden, he went coast to coast with like 8 seconds left to tie it in overtime. And then actually South Point, they stepped on the line trying to inbound it. So the ball went back to Camden. Camden couldn't do anything with it. They went to double overtime. And then in double overtime, South Point just kind of pulled away. Trey Raymond, 22 points in that one. Jashawn Reed, 18-8. So that's the thing with High Point is they're huge. If they want to zone you up, it's like 6'5", 6'8", 6'5", across the back line. It's a really big team. So when they finish, when they get good guard play, they're a really hard team to beat, like they were in the second overtime last night.
Andrew, thanks for joining us again. You're talking about High Point. I'm looking here at the rankings. I'll bring that up now. What do you see as being their stiffest competition in the playoff bracket?
For High Point?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, High Point 2A in general, like it's going to be really tight across the board. I do think High Point has a little bit of a gap over the next couple of teams, but when you look at Andrew Jackson, Central, Chesney, Hampton County, Liberty, Marion, Mullins, I just mentioned like eight teams in that top 10 right there. There's a lot of teams that can hang with High Point, a lot of teams that can beat High Point. High Point, they were the Upper State champion last year. They lost to Atlantic Collegiate. Atlantic Collegiate is not the team they were last year, but like they're still a tough team to beat. So 2A is going to be really, really tight across the board. One kind of matchup that's going to be interesting in 2A is coming tonight. The tiebreaker game between Andrew Jackson and Central. The winner of that game will actually be in the same side of the Upper State bracket as High Point, but they would get home court. So that's going to be a tight one tonight. That's number two and number four in those rankings right there. That's where I'll be tonight over in Kershaw. So I'm looking forward to seeing who can win that one, who will get that potential home court, and what those two.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Teams could look like if they do match up with High Point down the road.
That's great. What about 1A? I mean, before we continue talking about some of these other teams, Horse Creek is having a great year, but CA Johnson came into the season, I believe, preseason ranked number one, and we were going over their non-region schedule and some of those close losses that had to some of the best teams in the state. What do you see happening in playoff seeding, and then CA Johnson, Bethune-Bowman, and Carver's Bay as a chance to win the whole thing?
Right. I actually think that Abbeville is the third best team in 1A. Carver Bay, Carver, or excuse me, the fourth best team in 1A. Carver's Bay is really good. They have some talented players, but I think that Abbeville, just in what they bring back from last year's state championship run, they're tough to beat. But far and away, the best team right now in 1A is CA Johnson. They went 15-0 in region, and they won by an average of 48 points per game. Like, they were literally just killing teams. I think their 15th win was by 99 points. They won 112 to 113. So they're just flying through right now, and they played some really tough non-region competition, like you said. Like, I was at that bash game during the school day against Ridgeview. That is as crazy of a road game as you will play, is when they let school out for like a pep rally, and you get to go and play a team like that. When just by playing that game, you know they have high expectations. But to hang around in that one against maybe the best team in the state, go down to the wire, just showed me what they're about. They have guys like Milton McCray, Tony Odom, Isaac Germany. They all can go for 30 points on a given night. But they also have a guy like Javarius Weiss, who's one of the most improved players in the state and really leads them from the point guard position.
Andrew Baxley joining us, Prep Hoops, South Carolina. Andrew, I love what you're giving us here.
Oh, we lost Smitty. Let's see. You
How
chose to
about
mute yourself,
there he
Smitty.
goes.
Yes, I muted myself. Well, I was so excited. Andrew, I love what you're giving us in terms of personalities of some of these teams too, and that's why I want to ask about Keenan in 3A. This is a team that has that championship pedigree. They're the defending state champions. So you always wonder, you know, do the coaches, there's a push and pull. I don't want to use the term load management like the NBA, but in other words, you know, they know that you have to be playing your best at this time. And it looks like Keenan is, and that's another game, another matchup. You can't go everywhere. I know, I love that you're going to the Andrew Jackson Central game, but I would think that that Keenan-Fox Creek game, which is also for a region title on the line, region 4, 3A on the line, that's another one you have your eyes on. They played last week. So that's another fun thing is like, It's getting to this point where the teams are playing twice or three times within a 3-week period now.
Right. So similarly to that, like the winner of tonight's Keenan Fox Creek tiebreaker, they're actually going to be on the same side of the bracket as Loris, who's another surefire contender in 3A. So that's something to watch. Neither of these teams are going to duck smoke from anyone in 3A, anyone in the state, really. But Keenan, when you mentioned peaking at the right time, that's kind of what they're doing, and that's what they did last year. They had a freshman, Antoine Kaufman Jr., who, if it weren't for some clutch three-point shooting from him, like they probably wouldn't have won the state championship, and he's now their best player and just leading them with scoring. He's really improved a lot with his playmaking. The thing with Keenan is they don't really have a true point guard. Like they have guys who can play the position, but if you're going to get up and press them, they don't necessarily have the ball handling, the consistent finding an easy shot. And that's even an issue going back to last year as well. They have lots of size, lots of athletes, but in terms of getting easy buckets, that could be where they struggle. And I'm interested to see, I'll probably turn on the tape tomorrow and watch this Fox Creek Keenan game back. But that's something I'd be looking at if I was Fox Creek.
Andrew, thanks for joining us again, man. I mean, this is an exciting time of the year. We're about to hit these playoff brackets, and there's a lot of different styles. There's a lot of different ways to win a basketball game. One thing I'm curious is I've seen several coaches and several teams talk about how they may have more well-rounded talent this year. They have five guys that might average 10 points a game. And so that makes those kind of teams more difficult to stop. What games are you potentially highlighting as possibilities as we enter into the brackets of the interesting defensive styles, the passing of the basketball versus maybe a high flying offense that is built around shooting and pressing, the speed of the game. What are you looking out for in these brackets?
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment for sure. Like I was just kind of looking at, man, who would be some of the players of the year, especially in 3A. And I'm just kind of looking at the line. There's not a lot of 20, 25 points per game scores, but there's a ton of like 15, 14. So that could be, there's a lot of teams in 3A. Like it's just pure teams. Like we talk about at the top, Keenan, Fox Creek, but then you go down Loris, Christchurch. Like these are all well-rounded teams. But one of those teams down in 3A that just really play pure team basketball that I'm excited to see would be Hampton County. They're likely to match up with Mullins, another region champion before the lower state. So if things go to plan, that would be one that I would want to check out for sure. Their best player is Darius Brooks. But other than that, it's just a lot of really, really good role players that fit around. And Hampton County is going to be a tough team to beat in 2A.
Yeah. Andrew, I've got my eyes. Look, I have a friend that coaches at Chesney High School, Andy Pitt, and I love the style that they play. And it makes me curious, you know, seeing where they are. They lost last night, so they're out of the region championship running, but they will host a playoff game. They're going to have a home playoff game. As you look across all of them, 1A, 2A, and 3A, just that band, are there dark horses? Is this concentrated at the top where, you know, you think there's only about four contenders, or is there somebody ranked 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th that could actually go on a run in the playoffs and challenge for a championship in any one of those classifications?
Right. I would say 3A, it's at the top. We kind of know who's going to be there, whether it's Keenan, Fox Creek, Loris, Christchurch. There could be a dark horse that pushes Christchurch in the upper state because three of those four teams I mentioned were lower state teams. So somebody has to play Christchurch on a neutral floor for the Upper State Championship. Maybe my pick for that would be St. Joe's, a team in Christchurch's region that they'll slow you down. They control the pace. They can hit some shots. They have an excellent rebounding group led by Carter Bears, their big man. But down in 2A, I could definitely see a dark horse team. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm going to see this Andrew Jackson Central game tonight. Central, that would be one of the teams I'd highlight as a dark horse team. Last year, they lost to Liberty. They got upset by Liberty early in the playoffs last year. So I just want to see how they bounce back this year. I saw them in a jamboree earlier this year, but then they were down a couple of football guys because their football team went on a run as well. But on the flip side of that, Liberty as well, they've been a little bit disappointing. This was the preseason number one team in 2A led by Kendrick Jackson. They got a couple of big transfers like Ethan Moses coming over. They've struggled a little bit in region play. Again, that's a tough region. Like you mentioned, Chesney, High Point also in that region. Landrum's a tough team to beat. I still think that Liberty is capable of winning a state championship because of guys like Kendrick Jackson. But they just don't have the resume right now to say, hey, this is a true contender, but they could still do it. And then down in 1A, to me, it just looks like a collision course between C.A. Johnson and Bethune-Bowman. Horse Creek, Abbeville could push C.A. Johnson, but I still think that the Hornets are just way too good.
Andrew, going back to 2A, I'm looking at a team right now, Philip Simmons, and something that you've seen across the board in their athletic department is just consistently really good teams. I believe baseball played for a state championship, if not won it last year. Football had a really good year and went a long way. What do you know about the Philip Simmons team down in the Charleston area?
Right. They just always have size. They're always huge guys. Like last year, they had a 6'10 and a 6'8. They both left 6'8, went to Christ School, in North Carolina, a private school. But then the end comes like 6'6, 6'5. Like they're just massive. So they protect the rim well. And they're just a really difficult team to beat. Like if you're a team like Mullins, who's wanting to put pressure on the rim, wanting to score at the rim, maybe you don't have a lot of shooting. When you're facing giants at the rim, like you don't want to see that. So Philip Simmons, probably one of those teams where you would say you don't want to see them early in the playoffs just because of all those factors, just how big they are across the board.
Andrew, I'm sensing, and we will look at 5A and 4A as well, but I'm also sensing that you have some disagreement between yourself and what you see in the rankings in terms of who are necessarily the best teams. Like you mentioned Abbeville. I'm just guessing you wouldn't have them ranked eighth, right? I mean, there's just a few of those. What do you think is leading to that? Is it because, you know, the coaches poll, they can't get out and see everybody, so they have to rely on the record so much, and you get to see more of the level of competition region to region? What do you think leads to that particular discrepancy between you and the rankings?
It's just differing opinions. I wouldn't say my opinion is right over their opinion. Like
at the UPS store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time and still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open and happy to help you keep being unstoppable. Come into your local store today. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable.
Coaches, they understand the game, but like you said, like they can't see everyone. Just like I wouldn't claim to see everyone. I try to see everyone. That's kind of the goal of the job, but I still can't see everyone. But a lot of that is just like what I get to see in person. Like that means a lot to me, is what I'm seeing with my eyes. What I remember from these games is kind of what sticks out to me. And then Abbeville, like, I know what Abbeville is because of what they returned from last year. Like Jaden Baylor is a matchup nightmare. Like there's not, other than guys on C.A. Johnson and Horse Creek, like there's no one who can guard J.D. Baylor. And that's just, they have the best player. Like they have the best player in almost every game they will play. And that's another reason why I would have them higher, is because I know what they have and their best player. Like that's really important in playoff basketball in general, like high school basketball, college basketball, NBA at all levels. Like if you have the best player in basketball, like it just changes the way that that particular game is played.
Yeah, queen on the chessboard, right?
Right.
All right, well, let's talk about 5A and 4A as well. We have, to me, what is a monumental matchup tonight, a mammoth game between Burns and Riverside for Region 2 5A, the championship on the line. Now, obviously, Riverside and Burns are not even going to meet in the playoffs because Riverside is in Division 2, Burns is in Division 1. So tell us, if you would, how that works in terms of playoff seeding, what the region championships mean, and I guess what those teams, what's at stake in a game like that tonight when you're in separate divisions but at the same region?
Right. I will tell you, I agree with some of these rankings a lot more, especially 4A. Great Collegiate, the best team up there. But you talked about that Riverside-Burns game. It's a huge game. Riverside beat them the first time they played. I watched Riverside this week. I watched them on Monday. I was up in Roebuck when they played Dorman. And they just honestly just didn't play that well. And I think Coach Alan Arnold will tell you that himself. Like, they just didn't play their best. And Dorman came out after losing to Burns. They weren't going to lose twice in a row. But a better bounce back game for Riverside earlier this week, or later this week, I should say. In terms of seeding in that game, it's important for Riverside to win because of how the RPI and the seeding works. If they don't win this game and win the region championship, they will be a 3 seed, which means they won't get a bye. They might have to play on the road in the second round. So it's really important that they win it. Burns is already locked into a bye, the top 4 byes in Upper State, which is crazy to say. It's Burns, Dorman, Dutch Fork, Ridgeview. Those are the top 4 byes. Those are the 4 byes in Upper State, an absolute gauntlet. So Burns is pretty much set. They still want to win tonight because it's the region championship. But in terms of seeding, in terms of playoff, how the playoffs will shape up, it feels like it's a lot more important for Riverside.
Andrew, is there anybody in the lower state part of the bracket that can seriously challenge the upper state champion in 5A Division I, in your opinion?
West Ashley can, for sure. They got to a little bit of a shaky start because their coach was sick early in the season, but then he came back. I got to see them against Wilson, and we all know how good Wilson is, and they beat Wilson by 25. And that's just how good this West Ashley team is. A lot of these guys come from a similar AAU program, so they know how to play each other. They know the style of play. Their big man's Jackson Terrell, one of those athletic big men that you don't get in the way when he's coming. You just get out. You let him dunk. Let him have the open dunk. But then they have guards like Eric Jenkins and Kendall Mack, who are elite playmakers, very good shooters. They defend hard. I think West Ashley can hang with any of those teams from the upper state if they are to make it.
Andrew, in Division II, I asked this question because I thought Greenville played such a difficult non-league schedule, which I love to see, take on all comers. And so they picked up 6 losses, but they've been good ever since. So I'm looking at that Riverside, Westwood, Goose Creek. I think it's clear they are contenders. How about Greenville down? Any contenders there? I would just think that Greenville, with the schedule that they've played, they won't back down from anybody.
Right. When I was making my championship tiers a week ago, I kind of have this 5A D2 grouped up into 2. I have the championship favorites, which are those top 3. And then I have a tier 2, which are those next 3, Greenville, TL Hanna, Fort Mill, as they can beat anybody, but they also could lose to anybody. And Greenville is a perfect example of that. They lost to Hillcrest. Granted, Hillcrest is a really tough defensive team. They were hot. Greenville has 2 transfers from Hillcrest in their starting lineup, so Hillcrest got up for that game. But then they also beat teams like TL Hanna. Like, they beat teams like Westwood. I was at that game Tuesday. I had a great Monday-Tuesday slate up in the upstate. I watched Greenville-TL Hanna on Tuesday. And the thing with Greenville is just when they are fully up for it, when all 8 guys in their rotation are like, hey, we're going to go out there. We're going to give it our best. We're going to get every rebound. We're going to get every loose ball. I don't know if any of those teams can beat them in D2. When they are fully up for it, they are so difficult to beat. But you can also get them on an off night where it kind of feels like they're not fully engaged. So that's the thing with Greenville. And I think once they get past that first or second round, then they'll be like, hey, we did this last year. We know where we're at. We know what we have to do. Let's do it. But if you get them in the first or second round game and maybe they're sleepwalking a little bit, they are beatable.
Man, I tell you what, Greenville is fascinating. You got the great Yarick Stoneman who has come back to South Carolina from Oak Hill, and he did a fantastic job building the Ridgeview program and one of the key parts of what they are today. And now Coach Staley is just cruising, and his son is playing really well as well. 4A, Andrew, Great Collegiate, North Augusta, Wilson, and Bluffton round up your top four. Is there anybody from 5 to 10 that you think can jump up and make a deep run into the bracket?
Yeah, somebody will have to, because if you look at those top five, it's all lower state teams. So somebody has to win it in upper state. It's probably going to be a team like Daniel or Lancaster or Lawrence or Westside, maybe even a South Point that I saw last night could sneak up into that conversation. Simply because, like I mentioned earlier, they would have the best player on the floor in all of those matchups. I like the idea of Lancaster or Lancaster. I don't know why I'm saying Lancaster. Lancaster. We got to say it the right. Southern way, the South Carolina way. It's Lancaster.
That's right.
But I like the idea of Lancaster. I know exactly what they're getting from a coaching perspective. I really like what they have in that. Malik Tinsley, that's their best player. A smaller guard, but a guard that can fill it up, and he has a chip on his shoulder because he knows how good he is. When others might not say it. Lawrence and Westside is an interesting one. Westside, they put the smackdown on Lawrence earlier this week to win that region. So I imagine in next week's poll, they'll probably flip over that. They'll have the home court advantage for most of 4A. And then Daniel, they're really getting hot at the right time. They have Jackson Conley, a big man who is really, really difficult to beat. Like, you're going to have to double him every time he gets it. But he's also capable of just spinning you to the baseline and dunking it or making plays out of that double team. So there's a lot of teams down there at the lower part of that top 10 in 4A that I think can make a run. But once they get there, I still like the chances of whoever comes out between North Augusta and Great Collegiate or Wilson.
All right. I'm really excited about all of this, Andrew. So tell us, what's the best way to stay with you? Like, you're covering Andrew Jackson Central tonight. What's the best way to follow what you're writing and keep all of this up to date? Because now I'm into, like, who's going to earn a bye? Who's going to have home court advantage? All of that. So how do we get all that info?
Yeah. Twitter or X is the best way. It's at Andrew Baxley. You see it on the screen, Baxley. At Andrew Baxley SC on Twitter. I'll have all my game updates, final scores, links to the game reports on Prep Hoops SC. All of that information will be on the Twitter, so that's the best way. I'm hoping that they get all the brackets out to the SCHSL website late tonight, but we're probably looking at early tomorrow morning, maybe about lunchtime tomorrow. But I'll be filling out my brackets just like March Madness. I'll print them all out, fill them out, and hopefully get some previews up to the website probably by Monday. And then we get going with the playoffs on Monday.
All right, we'll split the work, Andrew. You do all that, and then I'll retweet it.
Good. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Hey man, we
fill
love
the bracket for me though. Fill out the bracket.
Oh, okay. All right. We will. We'll go to Prep Hoops SC. We love what you bring to us, Andrew. We want to stay in touch and we'll support everything you're doing, man. It's fantastic. I know you can't be everywhere, but you are the next best thing to being everywhere at all these games.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
All right. Have a good one. We'll take a break here on Four Quarter Friday. When we come back, we're gonna have Aaron Lucas, high school girls coach for Ridgeview, join us. But that's not the whole story. There's more to this with Aaron Lucas, and we'll tell you about it when we come back. That's Steve Hall. I'm Matt Smith. Thanks for joining us here on Four Quarter Friday, Chief Sports Network.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
How you doing, my friend?
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com.
Do your wood floors need a touch-up? Visit RecoatRevolution.com in South Carolina today.
You're tuned into the State of South Carolina's weekly high school show. Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. Now it's the color I bleed in the stitches in my stitches in my stitches in my stitches in my pride is a capital letter. Us together. It's the color I bleed and the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching right. Right. Yeah, we got pride. Yeah, we got pride.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. This is the fourth quarter. We are trying to get Aaron Lucas to join us, Ridgeview High School girls basketball coach. But at present, we don't yet have Aaron joining us. But what I wanted to say, Steve, what I was teasing, and you can tell us more about it, is that Aaron Lucas was chosen to tomorrow's 25. So, I mean, just a great recognition for him, and I know it's something that we can all take pride in, right, is all the Coaches Association is so happy to have a South Carolina representative there.
Yeah, and they actually pick 25 from South Carolina, and they pick 25 from, I believe, Mississippi. It's a joint venture for the Mississippi, the Mississippi Coaches Association. And the South Carolina one, it was founded in 2025. Just to kind of hit a few of these coaches that were selected, just looking at the pictures, we have Coach Trent Robinson, who is the head basketball coach for the boys at Westwood. We have Coach Nick Pelham, who just landed the job at the new Lake Wylie, South Carolina. Let's see who else. We got Coach Brad Boob, the athletic director at Hartsville High School. Just to name a few, Coach Miranda Proctor, the AD at Richland Northeast. So a great who's who of some of the rising stars of high school coaches in South Carolina, and very big initiative from our partner, the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, to invest in these up-and-comers.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, look, everyone that's a basketball fan in our state remembers Aaron Lucas, the player, and now we get Aaron Lucas, the coach. I love that when you make your mark in our state as a player, and then you also, you turn it over and then you help the next generation by staying in and coaches. We saw Bennett Swigert take the job at Clover. Of course, he'd been coaching in the state, but you just have a lot of examples of that from across the state. Last week, just last week on this show, we had two guests in Terrence Scriven and Lane Fowler that were big-time ball players in our state, both at the high school and collegiate level, and then turn around and get into coaching in our state. I love that, and Aaron Lucas is doing the same thing. And we welcome Coach Lucas now. Coach, as we said, congratulations on being named to the Tomorrow's 25. How are you loving Ridgeview so far?
Can you guys hear me?
Coach, can you hear us? Yes, we can. Can you hear us?
I can.
Well, Coach, we just opened with congratulations on being named to the Tomorrow's 25. And I said, so how are you loving Ridgeview? How is life treating you since you've taken that job as the head basketball coach, the head girls basketball coach there at Ridgeview?
Well, I appreciate your sentiments. It is an honor to be a part of Tomorrow's 25. It's been a great experience thus far. Ridgeview is treating me well. It's been a great experience so far. Great athletic atmosphere, great academic atmosphere, a lot of support, great people, great kids. I really couldn't ask for much more from a standpoint of needing all the things that a successful program would need, and just again having the support and great students who want to be a part of a program trying to you know, make progress and move forward.
Coach, thanks for joining us, man. We're excited to have you, especially to talk about the program at Ridgeview High School that you are leading, the girls basketball team. Y'all are 9-2 in region, and we're about to enter the playoffs. What do you like about where your team is now and the growth that you've seen this season, and what are y'all looking to continue to get better at?
Well, as of right now, I think we've slowly kind of built and found our chemistry and the things that, you know, we have brought to the table, myself and our staff, just as far as the accountability, the expectations, the amount of work that we put in to give ourselves a chance to be successful. I think a lot of times kids think that, you know, you're working hard is always going to yield a positive result. But the reality of it is you're working hard and trying to outwork everybody is to put yourself in the best position to be successful. And I think we've done that over the course of the year. We played a really, really tough schedule early on. So we got a chance to figure out the things that we need to work on and things that we need to get better at. And I think over time we have done that. Our region has also been very competitive. And we've learned some lessons during that process. So hopefully now we can put all those things together and have a good playoff run.
Coach, you certainly don't have to be a great player to be a great coach, but you did play professionally and getting that experience over in Europe where the game can be different. I'm just wondering, how did that shape you as a player? So many of us remember you playing in the Garnet and Black, but then you go to Europe. Now you're a coach. What do you take from that time in Europe that is helping you now and help to shape things with these girls?
Well, I think the biggest thing is I played for a well-known, I'd probably say one of the best coaches that's ever coached at high level in Europe, Jonas Kozlauskas, which is very similar to Eddie Fogler for me. And I think the biggest thing over there was the fundamental focus of, you know, how to shoot the ball, how to pass the ball, those kind of rudimentary things that we learn when we're, you know, kids, goes to a higher level at a professional, in the professional ranks in Europe. Everything is about fundamentals and getting to certain spots, being in certain spots. And I was, again, connecting my coach in Europe and my coach at Carolina, Eddie Fogler, is they're very structured and very detailed oriented. And just being able to put those two ideologies and philosophies together, I think has really shaped me as a coach, understanding that 2 feet left or right could mean the difference between getting a shot or not getting a shot. And over there, when you're playing with, you know, I would say some of the best shooters I've ever seen in my life, you're forced to get better because you're practicing twice a day. The emphasis is on every small detail that you can do to improve. And I try to bring all of that to, you know, the young ladies and the young people that I coach and train.
Coach, you got a big game tonight. You're going to Blythewood to play Blythewood. And I don't know if they have the region championship locked up yet, but y'all only have two losses in region this year. One of those was to Blythewood back on the 20th of January. So it's been almost a month. Y'all are on a four-game win streak. What do y'all have to do tonight in a raucous environment at Blythewood High School to win against this team?
Well, you're talking about, last year's state champions, 5A Division I, a team that has gone through the challenges of learning and growing and building a solid chemistry. They're a senior-led group with some very talented players. I think for us is we have to figure out how to minimize mistakes. Again, when you're talking about playoffs, you're talking high competitive, high level basketball. It's really not so much the talent. It's how do you minimize mistakes? How do you capitalize on the other team's mistakes or errors? And those are the things that we didn't do very well in the first game. They are the region champions. We'll end up finishing second no matter how this game plays out. However, in our region, with so many schools in proximity, very close to each other in this district, every game is like a rivalry. And so it's still important for us to end on a high note, but it is a tough task on the road against the defending state champions who played a lot of basketball together. So our main objective here is just to make sure that we can minimize the mistakes and really just execute at a high level.
Now, Aaron Lucas is joining us here on Four Quarter Friday. As he mentioned, big game tonight against the defending state champs. I wonder, Coach, you're right there in Columbia. Obviously, you played there. And then Dawn Staley is doing what she's doing it with that program. I wonder if you are seeing an impact at your level. In other words, maybe a renewed excitement around girls basketball just because they see what the future can look like, just how big it is, the support that they get that probably didn't exist at that level outside of UConn and Tennessee back when you were playing.
Oh, absolutely. And then the fact that you have local talent also being a part of that really kind of galvanizes and reinforces the opportunity to play at the next level and have a lot of success at the next level. So Don is a great friend. We talk frequently when we have times and bump into each other. Obviously, during the summers and during the season, it's very difficult. But what she's been able to do is build a program, build a culture, bring a community together, really emphasize the positives that come out of playing sports, and just really really elevating women's basketball as a whole. And so, you know, being a part of, you know, this side of the game, playing with or coaching young ladies, I think everything that she's done over the last decade or so has really brought a reinforced idea that there is a possibility to be successful on the girl side. You see a lot more of the young ladies training, more emphasis on strength and conditioning, realizing that, you know, you got to study the game at a high level. A lot of Don's quotables are utilized, I'm sure, with a lot of coaches just to help them understand, you know, some of the best players in the world, some of the best players in the country is college basketball right here in Columbia. And, you know, you could, if you work hard enough and if you put the same amount of effort, you could reach all types of heights with this game. And obviously with NIL and a number of other things, it could actually change your life. So we're very excited about where the game is for on the women's side. I'm very proud to be a part of it. And hopefully at my level, I can do the same is try to continue to elevate it.
Oh, well, the follow up is, so have you got one for her? Is there a blazer there that could potentially play at South Carolina at that level?
Again, I'm very transparent. Basketball has been good to me. I don't think right now we have one. And not saying from a talent standpoint, we actually had this conversation last night at practice for our young ladies. I don't think they understand how size impacts the game at that level. A lot of people don't realize Tessa Johnson as a two guard is 6 feet tall. And Raven Johnson is 5'9", which she would likely be almost a post player in the majority of the high schools in Columbia, right? So size is another factor. We have a young lady who's 6'2". She's a force inside, very young. But at 6'2", she's not Okoop, who's 6'6". She's not the young lady that came from France at 6'7". So it's a lot of things like that that we always have to keep in perspective. I'd never shoot my young lady's dreams down, but I'm also going to be very realistic with them and very transparent with them. Can they play at a high level? Could they play at other Division I schools and mid-major? Absolutely. We have the talent here. We're developing the talent. We have structures in place. Obviously, I have great relationships with a ton of coaches around the country. But at the same time, we've got to be very realistic. Now, if somebody walks in who is 6'2 and can run the point for me, we might have a conversation going on. But, you know, we're going to continue to develop our young ladies to be able to play at the next level. And I've been fortunate enough to have several kids that play from NAIA all the way up to mid-major D1s right now.
Coach, before we let you go, I know Smitty might actually have one more question for you, but I got to ask you, what does it mean to be selected to the Tomorrow's 25 prestigious group? That's the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, along in partnership with the state of Mississippi, has done to elevate some of the rising stars in South Carolina. What does that group look like from your perspective? What is y'all's yearly meetings look like? How are you gaining more knowledge with it? Like, just tell us a little bit more about that group.
Well, it's a collection of coaches from all different sports, all over state, all different divisions and levels that bring their expertise from their particular fields to a collective. And at the end of the day, coaching is really mentoring and teaching. So you start to hear a lot of different philosophies and practices that, you know, elevate programs. You hear from great cheer programs. You hear from great ADs who have, you know, multiple sports that are doing well. Hear from football, softball. So you can kind of get ideas that come from different places. We've had guest speakers. Actually, we were in a meeting Wednesday night just talking about amateurism. How do we prepare for it? How do we, try to, you know, promote and market our programs at the high school level, obviously without breaking any rules or blurring any lines. But it's those are the type of conversations that are very impactful because, again, you know, for me during my season, I have tunnel vision. And the only thing I'm thinking about is my, you know, 11 girls, my managers and my coaching staff. And, you know, some things can go out of sight, out of mind. And once the season is over with, all these new things are a part of our game that we really haven't had time to explore and dig into. So for me, that's been the biggest impact is being able to have far-ranging conversations that really go back to teaching and trying to help young people be the best versions of themselves. But again, it is a complete honor to be a part of this group. I use a lot of philosophies from different sports with our current structure. And again, to be able to learn more things, particularly like from volleyball, the way they communicate and have to communicate, you're still talking about the same amount of people in a smaller space. And then the only way for them to be successful is they have to talk constantly. So just taking certain things from different sports to try to implement with our program to make it better. And again, at the end of the day, no matter the wins and losses, our goal as a staff is to make sure we prepare our young ladies for the next level. They're fortunate to get an opportunity.
Now, we're talking with Coach Aaron Lucas, and he's got a big game tonight against Blythewood. But let's talk to the player, Aaron Lucas, for a second. What kind of shape is your game in? Do the girls know that you used to be a player? Obviously they know, but, you know, do you shoot around with them? Do you mess around anymore?
Not very much. I am 46 now. It's been a while. I try to let them know, depending on how the weather is, if it's too cold, the body aches a little more than it normally does. But every now and then I'll get out there with them. I like to teach the game of basketball because that's how it was done for me. So at times I'll have to do, I call it the old man demo. And it's not a full speed version, but it's certainly a walkthrough type of version where they can
see. Nikola Jokic's whole game, though, Coach. His whole game.
Listen, if I could get away with it at 5'11 now and make the type of money he makes, I'll certainly sign back up for it. But I get out there from time to time. I try to show them some old footage that I can find, not to necessarily say that I was bigger than the game or anything like that, but just to help kind of bring everything together, to show them that everything I'm trying to teach them and tell them, I actually had to do it and tried to do it at a very high level. So I think that helps when I'm able to do it. When I was coaching boys, I was a little bit more engaged and obviously a lot younger. But as I get older, I realize, you know, me showing them sometimes kind of, it really overshadows what they need to actually be doing during that process. So I'm less actively involved physically, but it's still a lot of teaching, a lot of demonstration from time to time. It's just a very slow version that hopefully they can grasp and I don't have to pay for the next day.
Coach, we're a big fan of your program. A lot of those programs over at RISU. Thank you so much for for coming on, giving us some of your time. We know it's busy, especially today as you prepare for this game. So good luck in that. But we have to ask you one more question, and this is because we are connected with Chief Sports, and Inside the Gamecocks is coming up next. I think you've been on that show before with Jamie, right, and Phil. We're in the middle of a kind of a struggling time period for Gamecock men's basketball, and you being one of the great players to come from there. What do you see that needs to change going forward, and how do we get this program, just frankly, being off the mat a little bit?
It is tough. Obviously, you know, as a former player and a Gamecock forever, I want to see our program be consistent. We've had moments in time where we've been very competitive. We've been, you know, a national name to kind of recognize, but then we take these lows and these dips. And I think the biggest thing for us as former players and just Gamecock alum in general, we want to see more consistency. And that just comes with building a certain culture. And I think culture is a huge impact on having longevity and consistency. And, you know, philosophies change here and there, but the program is still the program, no matter who the face of that program is. And we want to try to make sure we kind of solidify more of an identity and make sure that we're doing the best that we can to, put our best foot forward. I think going forward, it may entail having more players involved, just to help, again, make an identity, build a culture so that we can assist with recruiting, help guys as they're going through the process. I'm a counselor, so I deal with all these different things every day. But just making sure that we're able to build a consistent and a strong culture that will stand the test of time.
There you go. All right, well, the Gamecocks play this weekend. The Blazers play tonight. Good luck, Coach. Congratulations on all your success, the recognition. And we hope you have a great outing tonight. And I think the girls are lucky for having you. Oh, he's going to stonewall
us. I think we lost him. Thank goodness.
Look at that. Look. Look at him mean mugging us as we congratulate him. He's already got his game face on. But our thanks to Coach Aaron Lucas for joining us again. He has been named one of tomorrow's 25, which is a tremendous honor, a recognition of young coaches that are making an impact in our state and, as you said, in Mississippi as well. But our thanks to Aaron Lucas. And plus, he gave us a lot more, right? He gave us a lot more than just girls basketball, which we want to make sure we highlight. So let's talk about the girls' rankings. Coach Lucas told us, look, Ridgeview's going to finish second in their region no matter what happens tonight. Blythewood is a power, and that is – one of those big-time games, one of those big-time matchups there. But we're certainly going to track girls basketball throughout the playoffs as well, just as we are doing with the boys playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we wanted to bring it home with us girls rankings, let's go ahead and look at that, Coach.
Look at Blythewood number one. Look at that.
Coach Smitty. I'm going to call you Coach Smitty. I call a lot of people Coach. So we're all coaching something to somebody, I'm sure, at some time, whether it's a three-year-old, a six-year-old, or a girls basketball team. But, Blythewood, of course, number one in the state. They return a lot of the talent from that team. And we talked to Coach Combs earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that, Smitty, but he
– Yep.
He was telling us a little bit about their team. They had kind of been struggling a little bit, but he told us they were going to get back on track, and boy, have they.
Absolutely. And you see so many of the same names that we talked about in boys basketball as well. It's just those programs so often feed on each other. You see Dorman and Burns there. But and then in 5A Division II, North Myrtle Beach, Goose Creek, which is one of the powers as well in boys basketball, as is Greenville. Berkeley ranked in both polls now. We didn't talk about that earlier, but the boys team has just been steadily fighting its way up and finally gets the recognition. And you see the girls there ranked fourth. West Side is a power in 4A on the girls' side. And we will absolutely track all of these teams in you know, from 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A, all the way throughout the playoffs this season.
Yeah, Smitty, I know we're running out of a little bit of time. Sorry, I was just texting Coach Lucas. I saw he had come back on and was able to kind of give us a little more time, but I know we got to get the show kind of wrapped up. We have Fort Mill Wrestling to talk about. You know, you found one of their wrestlers as a way to as kind of a Palmetto player profile. We don't have a graphic yet. We will throw that out on socials later. But tell us a bit about the Palmetto player profile for this week.
Yeah, so Fort Mill, we opened the show with the fact that Fort Mill won its fourth consecutive state championship in the duels. So that right there is some kind of an accomplishment. And their captain and leader is Lincoln Green, who won 16-0 in the 157-pound weight class. And why is that important? Because he's been a part of this dynasty from the outset. He broke Fort Mill's program record for most career wins. 175 wins in wrestling, so 175 matches. 175 times Lincoln Green has bested someone else. And here's the fun part. The record he broke was of his assistant coach, the guy that was teaching him and bringing him along. And there they all are, all pictured. But Lincoln Green, you see they dyed their hair blonde for this run to the championship, which you've seen before. And it's an incredible program, an incredible story. Lincoln Green is, yes, the headliner. He's at the height of it, or at the apex of that, the top of that pyramid. He is our Palmetto player profile. But all the seniors on that team started wrestling in their eighth grade year, and that's how you build a program. It's just so impressive. And Lincoln Green sets the school record. And here's another thing I want to mention, that Lincoln Green is not going to wrestle in college. So here's someone who is clearly successful, clearly can be recruited in all of those things, but he's going to leave his shoes on the mat here at the end of a state championship. And so often we've all seen that commercial so many times, right, about the NCAA, that 99% of athletes are going to go some in pro and something else other than sports. But that also happens in high school. So I just want to recognize Lincoln Green, who's not going to wrestle anymore. He's going to the University of South Carolina, no wrestling program. So he's going to go on and he's going to chase his academic dreams. But for the rest of his life, he will remember this. He and this group of seniors that started wrestling together in the eighth grade and move up won their fourth straight state championship. He sets the school record for wins individually, and he does it with all of those great friends, and he's going to leave his shoes on the mat and walk away from wrestling now. So I just think that's an incredible accomplishment for that program, for Lincoln Green himself, and we just wanted to highlight that before we left you today.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an incredible. I love hearing those stories. I've seen it time and time again. There's just these handful of guys that'll come through the wrestling programs in this state that'll go 4-for-4, something ridiculous, yeah. Like maybe 2 losses in their entire career. And the crazy thing is a lot of times they will go wrestle in college, and it's nuts that he's chosen. No, I'm good. He's retiring on top. But
that's right.
Bruin had an awesome question. He's asking if we're gonna get the new coach Scott Braswell on anytime soon. We are actually going to be working on having many of these new hires on more long form, Smitty, and kind of putting them out as separate episodes so that we're not too confined in where the conversations lead us. But those will start coming out as we get further along in the spring and maybe into the summer. But looking forward to talking to the new South Florence Bruin coach. And
yep.
Smitty, I know we got to get out of here.
Yep, I'm getting us out of here. Thank you so much, yep. Steve. Great job. Congratulations to everybody that's doing all of these big-time things here in the South Carolina High School League. Congratulations to the wrestling champions. We'll talk more about you next week because we've got the individuals coming up. We've got baseball, softball starting, basketball playoff, girls and boys. We will tackle all of that when we're back with you on Fourth Quarter Friday next week on the Chief Sports Network. Inside the Gamecocks with Jamie Bradford is next.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us, all of South Carolina. We love talking ball, and we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning in to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.